Pastor Dustin and Rachel this week, they've had the opportunity to go to General Conference. We're part of the Brethren in Christ denomination, and they have a conference where all the different churches gather, and they're down in Florida, and they're enjoying that conference right now, and Rachel got to go along. And then also Spencer, who typically speaks on a Sunday. You might not know this about Spencer, but he's part of an ultimate Frisbee team, and he's really good. And they made it to, they qualified for a tournament, and Annie had the chance to go along as manager. And anybody that knows me as a friend, I am not the friend to come to if you need to be talked out of taking the trip. I will say, you should take the trip. I will probably find a way to maybe invite myself along or think about how I could also take that trip. And that's how we are here now because, oh, Spencer and Pastor Dustin are gone. Someone needs to speak on Sunday morning. I'll be the friend that says, sure, you should take the trip. I'll stay and I will speak. And our whole family has a high value on taking the trip, and it actually starts with my husband, Sam. Several years ago, our boys were very, very little. He was in business with actually Pearl and Terry's son-in-law, Steve. They worked at Can Doris, and they had a remote employee who lived in Tennessee. His name was Nate Kirby, and he suddenly passed away. So Steve and Sam had to fly down to Tennessee to attend the services, and it was one of those, they flew in early in the morning, they got to the church, the funeral home, and because of the timing of the flight, they were there for several hours, and they watched the memorial slideshow on loop, and they saw this slideshow, and they flew home that night, and Sam came home, and he said, Stacy, we're taking the trip. When we have the chance, we're taking the trip. And I said, what's going on? He said, I sat there and I watched. The Kirbys had four little children, a little bit older than our boys at the time. And he said, every picture on that slideshow was a trip. A couple trips to Disney I saw based on the kids' ages, maybe a couple trips to the beach, a couple trips camping, but we're gonna take the trip. But it means so much more than taking the trip. It's the scripture that we wanna live out and that we wanna claim as our own in Psalm 118:24. This is the day the Lord has made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. Right? We will rejoice and be glad in it. And during the school year, I typically drive our boys to school, and I cherish that time because you only have so much time with them. And usually for a small part of the drive, I will pray over them. And usually it's just a quick prayer. If there's one son that I usually pray that he does well on his studies, and that any tests go well. That's always his request. The other one is always just that I have fun today. So you can figure out the personalities, maybe who is who. But there's also three scriptures that I always pray that our family has claimed. And I encourage you to claim a scripture for your life. One is from Micah 6:8. What does the Lord require of us but to act justly, love mercy, and walk humbly with our God? James 1:19, because we need many reminders in our family, even within to each other, how we act. But James 1:19 says, everyone should be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to become angry. But Psalm 118:24, this is the day the Lord has made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. And how can we rejoice in the whole journey, right? Not just the destination. We know as Christians, if we believe in God, our destination is heaven. But we have this whole journey of life here. And how can we live that? How can we love people well? How can we serve our God well so that at the end we will hear, well done, good and faithful servant. So for us, we want to enjoy the whole journey, not just the destination. So when we have a trip coming up, we enjoy the whole part of it. All the planning, all the things. I mean, do we need any new outfits for this trip? Where are we going to eat? What are we going to do? All of the planning is all part of the journey, right? And being excited for this trip. So we actually just got home from a trip that we took two weeks ago. And we were working on planning some of the different stops, some of the different things that we were going to be doing. And one of our stops that we were going to take on this trip was to a little area in Italy. It was called Cinque Terre. And it's this little village. It has on a cliffside, and it has five little villages that you can go along. And you can hike from village to village, and it's so beautiful. And we were researching this, thinking about what we were going to do. and we thought, this sounds fun. We're going to get a train ticket. We got our train tickets. We followed the signs in a different language. We were going to take the train all the way up to the final, the last village, and then we would hike. And I have some pictures of our hike. I think they should be up there. Oh, yes. So here, this is where you start, and you can kind of see the path along that mountainside. And in the far distance, you'll also see all along that mountainside, there are groves of olive trees that are planted there. So as we were doing our planning, I came across this book that talked about, it's called The Faith to Flourish. And she is by Christine Kane, and she writes all about the olive tree. And this came up, and I was so intrigued, and I thought, oh, this is exciting. We're going to hike along here. We're going to see these olive trees. And she writes about how our faith could be like an olive tree, because in Psalm 52:8, it says, "But I am like an olive tree flourishing in the house of God." So it made me think, well, what is it like to be an olive tree? What does that mean? What does that mean? So don't worry, I'm not going to share everything out of this book or out of this book, the Bible, today, but I picked two things that I thought would be good to highlight that were meaningful to me in being like an olive tree and having faith like an olive tree that we can flourish in the house of God. So, and because we're talking about trips, I'm going to use two different trips to draw these comparisons for. So the first one I'm going to talk about is a couple years ago. It was the height of COVID and everything was shut down. There was no activities to do, and we had two young boys at home, right? You needed activities to do. There was no youth sports, nothing to sign up for. And we thought, ooh, this would be a fun time. We should learn to teach them how to ski. We've always talked about that. Let's let them learn how to ski. So we did in the winter. We went out. We got some learn to ski lessons. They loved it. It was so fun. We were out there and we thought, ooh, it would be fun to do a bigger trip. We should do a bigger mountain than around here. But we didn't have a ton of knowledge about skiing, but we did have some friends that were really, really good at skiing. So I was joking at the beginning that maybe I would invite myself along on a trip. Well, that's exactly what we did. We invited ourselves along on their ski trip. And I think I have a picture, and it's actually, I did get permission for them to share. It's the Moggers. They attend here at Fairland. They are awesome skiers. They are so good. And something about the picture, you think, oh, wow, they all made it down the mountain together. That's so great. They were probably actually waiting for about 20 minutes for me to get down there, to catch up, to get that picture, because they all ski down there, like, real smooth. And my whole body is tense the whole time. Like, my, like, muscles are all cramping by the end of the time that I get there. But it was so wonderful to be with people that knew what they were doing. They knew the mountain to go to. And yeah, you can even see I'm like pizza'd, like just even standing in. That's not how skiers should be, anybody that knows how to ski. But it was so fun. We had such a great time with them. And it made me think about the olive tree and how the olive tree needs to have roots. And one way that we can have roots is by having community. We need people. We need to put ourselves out there. We need to invite ourselves along sometimes. And that could be for you. Maybe you see someone in the church and you know that they know how to be a faithful parent or spouse. They know how to have self-control after addiction. They know how to walk through grief after the loss of a loved one, how to navigate the empty years or the infant years, how to have patience through infertility or forgiveness after infidelity, integrity and character, like in the business. You need those people that will come alongside you, right? Teach you how to ski, teach you how to do those things, give you the roots in your faith. Because deep friendships don't happen by accident, right? They're built over time through showing up, extending grace, and choosing to stay connected even when it's hard. One thing that I heard one time, and it stuck with me for a really, really long time, we have such an epidemic of loneliness right now. There's so many lonely people. And it's because if we read back in Genesis in the Bible, everyone thinks that the first problem was sin. But the first problem wasn't sin. It was actually solitude. God said, after he made man, it's not good for man to be alone. Because we were made in God's image, and God is, he is a communal God, right? He is three in one, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. So if we're made in his image, and he is community itself, we need that community. We need to be there for one another. We need to be those people who are quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to become angry with one another. We need to extend the olive branch. We need to not assume the worst in each other and assume the best instead. We need to just be there for one another. Even I think of the youth. You're going to have this whole row, a whole bunch of kids coming up to you, right? How can you encourage them? How can you love them and help them with their school schedule or help them come up with a devotional practice? How is there someone in the congregation that you think, oh, wow, they do that really well. Like, I want to know how to do that. Put yourself out there. Invite yourself along. Say, hey, can you show me how to do this? And maybe they'll say, you know what? I really don't know how to, but I bet they'll pray for you. I bet you'll make a friendship through that. And it's a way that we can grow roots that we need in our church community. It says in Galatians 6:2, carry each other's burdens, and in this way, you will fulfill the law of Christ. I encourage you to write these down and look these up throughout the week as a reminder. And in Ecclesiastes 4, 9 through 12, two are better than one because they have a good return for their labor. If either of them falls down, one can help the other up. But pity anyone who falls and has no one to help them up. Also, if two lie down together, they will keep warm. But how can one keep warm alone? Though one may be overpowered, two can defend themselves. A cord of three strands is not quickly broken. We need each other to build roots and to build community. Paul had Timothy. Naomi had Ruth. What did she say? Where you go, I'll go. Where you stay, I'll stay. We need friends that are rooted in Christ, just like that cord of three strands that it says in that verse. Olive trees have roots. We need friends that give us roots in our faith so that we can flourish. So my first encouragement to you is to get those roots, get those friendships, get those communities from your church that can give you roots, because there will become a time where there's rocky soil. Olive trees flourish in rocky soil because of their roots, so we need our roots so that we can flourish too. I'm going to share my next trip story with you, and it actually has to do, again, with Mel and Steve, Pearl and Terry's daughter and son-in-law, and my husband Sam and I were taking a trip. As Randy had shared earlier, we were involved in some ministries in Haiti, and we had wanted to go down. A couple weeks ago, you might have seen, we showed a video about a van from Fairland that had got shipped to Haiti, and the van had just arrived. Also, Sam and I had been trying to adopt a little guy from there, and the adoptions had gotten shut down, and they're still shut down to this day, but we had wanted to get down there and see them. Steve and Mel and Candoris were going to be doing some sponsorship, so we wanted to get down, have a visit, have some meetings and things. But Steve and Mel had four young kids at home. We had had Trey. He was just over a year old, and it was the first time we left him. So this was going to be a very quick trip. We were going to go there. We were going to hug the kids, have the meetings, see the van, take the pictures, and get right back on and get home to our babies at home too, right? Our hearts were in two different places. So everything was going well. All the meetings happened, all the fun was had, all the pictures were taken, all the hugs were given. We were, the night at the guest house, we were ready to go. And then the next morning we wake up, heading to the airport, and there's a message on our phone. Your flight is delayed. Your flight is canceled. There are no flights for days to come. And we're like, oh, what happened? So a UN plane had actually crashed on the runway at the Port-au-Prince airport, so no flights could come in or out. And they needed to leave it like that because they had to do an investigation. So it could be, they said, days or weeks until they could remove this airplane and that anybody could fly back out of the country. Well, this did not fly for Sam and Steve. They said they had two very upset wives who had babies to get home to, right? So they're like, we're going to the airport. We're gonna figure something out. And we had our friend Junior, who came with us, translate, and we had a bag of Twizzlers. That was what was gonna get us through the day. At the airport, Mel and I sat there with our bag of Twizzlers. Sam and Steve stood at the flight desk, you know, trying to get something, anything. And people were like, I don't know. Finally, they came across this one little airline called Air Tortugue. They gave you cardstock boarding passes. I believe we have a picture of it. I'm sure some of you have gotten boarding passes like that for a flight too. We were one and two. We had hope. We were gonna fly Air Tortugue because their plane was so small. They said they could drive around the plane on the runway and go out. What you might not know either is Mel is not a great flyer. It's not her favorite thing to do. So those faces of those pictures right now, we're like faking it till we make it. We're like, yay, we're gonna do this. The pilot was seriously like right where Braylon is, okay? I'm like, hey, if you need any help up there, like this plane was so small. But also, you know, this was a delay we were not expecting and we wanted to get home. We weren't even sure if it was really gonna to leave, but it left. It took off in the middle of a storm too, just to add a little bit more excitement to the fun of the flight. We saw like the lightning bolts and stuff going along through the plane. And then as we were boarding, Sam sent a message to what he hoped would be someone who would pick us up at the airport and get us to the hotel. We didn't know if anyone would be there or not, but we were like, we're on a plane, we're getting out, we'll see what happens. So we do. We make it to Santo Domingo in the Dominican Republic. There was a driver there. We were like, thank you, Jesus. And we got to our hotel and we were just really thankful. We were not expecting this delay. We were not expecting this to happen. But here's part of the story that is where God knows and God is in control, even when you think it's rocky or it's not going how you plan. Every trip to Haiti previously, we usually took some sort of love offering, donations that were given to us. And there was always needs that would arise and they would be spent. They would be given out. They would be used. Well, that trip, just nothing had ever come up. And we thought, well, you know, we'll keep it. I'm sure something will come up at some point when we're back. We can send it down. We can do something. So we had $300 that we left with. But when we got there, the people that we had been staying with at the guest house, they had actually contacted one of our friends who had previously lived in Haiti. He was a translator for Teams, and he was doing some studying at the Dominican. Okay? And he got there and he met us. I think the next picture, Eli, you can see, there's our friend Davidson. He ended up being at the hotel, which was such a blessing to get to see him. And then he shared with us that night that things were going well, university was going well, but he really needed to get some of this paperwork to be able to stay in the Dominican to continue his studies. And he told us the amount. Do you know how much the amount was to get that paperwork? $300, right? The amount that we had. So I say that because what we thought was a delay and what was there to harm us, we wanted to get home. God used for good, right? How many times in our life do we think we're in that rocky soil? And in Genesis 50:20, when it's talking about Joseph, he says, you intended to harm me, right? His brothers sold him. He was in the well. He was in prison. But God intended it for good, to accomplish what is now being done, the saving of many lives. Joseph was sold by his brothers. He was in prison before God gave him the palace, right? David was given a Goliath before he got his crown. Esther had a crisis. Daniel had a lion's den. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego were in a fiery furnace. Hey, all these things. But God will redeem what he allows. Romans 8:28 says, "And we know that in all things God works for the good of those who love him, who have been called according to his purpose." And when we can be so rooted in God's plan and in his community, when we can have roots in our community, in our church, then disappointment, a flight delay, it's like divine protection. It's like you being the answer to someone's prayer. Olive trees can flourish in rocky soil, and so can you when you have the roots to do that. There was a Barna study done. They do a lot of studies within churches and the Christian faith, and the study showed that youth and young adults that are more likely to stay connected to the church are part of intergenerational congregations. Isn't that a blessing? Right? Because look around, that's what Fairland is, right? An intergenerational congregation. I had a friend here a couple weeks ago from elementary school, and she noticed and pointed out the same thing. She said, whenever I come home to visit, I just love to come to Fairland. It's so sweet to see all of the generations like worshiping together. It's such a special place. So for someone else, you know, sometimes you don't appreciate it when it's so close, and then when you see someone else point that out and you can appreciate that. So we have a really special thing here at Fairland, and our young people, right up here, you have a lot of time to grow some deep roots with one another, with the other people in your church. Don't waste the years, right? Let these roots sink down deep into God's word, into your prayer life, into one another and the people of the church. And don't ever mistake God's protection for disappointment, right? That flight delay can just be exactly where he's leading you. Sometimes what feels like a delay is actually God preserving you for something greater ahead and being the answer to someone else's prayer. And to all of our seniors, something really cool, and I'm gonna have to add this trip to my bucket list, is that, do you know that olive trees can flourish for hundreds and hundreds of years? I heard that there's an olive tree in Greece, so Sam, maybe that needs to be our next trip. There's an olive tree there that's like 1,000 years old. Okay, I don't think anyone here is 1,000 years, so you still have a lot of time to flourish. Just because you've already lived many seasons of your life doesn't mean that your greatest influence is behind you. You're still here because God still has fruit for you to bear, right? We need your wisdom, your stories, your faithfulness. We have a congregation full of Timothys who need a Paul, and a full of Ruths who need a Naomi, right? So, and for all of us in between, you should have a Paul. And you should be someone's Paul, right? So look around and see who that could be. And you should have a Naomi, and you should be someone's Naomi, right? Who can you encourage this week? Who can you show up for? Who can you mentor? Who can you pray with? Who can you remind that God is faithful, right? Who can you send that text to, or make that phone call, or invite to lunch after church? Because deep roots aren't grown alone. We're made in his image. We're made for community. When disappointments come, when delays come, when disasters come, when diagnosis comes, the roots we've grown together will be what helps us stand. Because our church will only ever be as encouraging as each of us chooses to be, will only ever be as gracious as each of us chooses to be, will only ever be as forgiving as each of us chooses to be, and as generous and as kind and as faithful as each of us chooses to be. So let's be a church of deep roots and resilience that can produce abundant fruit, that we can stand firm in Christ, we can encourage one another, and we can flourish in every season until the day he calls us home. Let's take the trip together until we each hear, "Well done, good and faithful servant. You were like an olive tree flourishing in the house of God." I'm gonna pray for us. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for this opportunity to come together. We thank you for the blessing that Fairland is. We thank you for the intergenerational community that we have here. We pray that we can each be intentional, that we can seek out that person that maybe could be our Paul or Timothy our Naomi or Ruth, that we could encourage one another, that we could lift one another up and be there for one another. We also think about who's that person that we need to extend that olive branch to in our community? Who's that person that needs to hear our sorry or needs us to assume the best in them rather than the worst? Who needs us to just keep showing up for them? Lord, we pray that you will place them on our hearts and that we will find the time to do that, that we won't use our busyness or our selfishness as an excuse, Lord. We pray that you will make each of us like an olive tree that will flourish in the house of you. We pray all these things in your name. Amen.